Picture this. United Airlines violently dragging a passenger off an overbooked flight in 2017. This wasn't just poor customer service. It exemplified what Brian Gunya calls the monetary mindset in action. When United needed seats, they saw only one solution: offer increasing amounts of money, then use force when that failed. They couldn't imagine creative alternatives because they were trapped in zero-sum thinking. This monetary mindset develops naturally from our daily transactions. Every time we buy coffee or groceries, we reinforce problematic assumptions. We're on one side of a transaction, interacting with just one party, wanting the opposite of what they want, and believing our gain requires their loss. While these assumptions work for buying coffee, they fail miserably in complex negotiations like buying homes, negotiating salaries, or resolving workplace conflicts. Why do most people still negotiate this way despite decades of research advocating better approaches? Even foundational works like Getting to Yes haven't changed real-world practices because they don't address our underlying mindset problem. Given money's ubiquity, it's no surprise that we default to seeing ourselves as combatants seeking the biggest slice of a fixed pie, rather than collaborators maximizing everyone's interests. Our monetary mindset stems from daily transactions, but bartering offers a better approach. In bartering economies, people directly trade goods or services they have for ones they need. Consider Keith, a farmer heading to market with his produce. Unlike in monetary transactions, Keith must be both buyer and seller simultaneously. He trades with multiple parties out of necessity. Few can provide all his needs and opportunity. Multiple interactions create new possibilities. Before trading, Keith surveys the market, noting the variety of needs and offerings. Through honest, trust-based conversations, he understands partners' needs while expressing his own, creating mutually beneficial exchanges. This bartering mindset involves five key assumptions different from monetary thinking: operating on both sides of transactions, engaging multiple parties, recognizing diverse needs and offerings, creating mutual benefits, and building trust-based relationships. To apply this mindset in our monetary world, follow a five-step process. Deeply define your needs and offerings, map potential partners, understand their needs and offerings, anticipate powerful partnerships, and cultivate those relationships. The foundation of better deals starts with defining your needs both deeply and broadly. To define needs deeply, ask why repeatedly until reaching a fundamental yet achievable need. For example, a cafe owner's initial need for cost-cutting leads to deeper needs: business viability, sustainable cash flow, customer loyalty, and operational efficiency. To define needs broadly, identify multiple ways to satisfy the underlying need. The cafe could increase revenue through menu optimization, enhance customer experience, develop new revenue streams like catering, and promote community health through local partnerships. Equally important is recognizing what you can offer others, both tangible assets, products, services, facilities, and intangible ones, expertise, reputation, and relationships. When defining offerings, identify all transaction partners and what they specifically value about your business. In salary negotiations, rather than simply asking for more money, examine why you need it, perhaps to reduce financial stress or improve work-life balance, and consider alternatives: flexible work arrangements, professional development, additional benefits. Also, inventory your current value to your employer: specialized skills, client relationships, and potential offerings, mentoring, developing new business strategies. The bartering mindset requires expanding beyond current partners to consider the entire marketplace of potential partners. This broader perspective uncovers hidden opportunities and creates value in unexpected places. When seeking new partners, begin with your defined needs. A struggling cafe might partner with nearby businesses for cross-promotion, local farmers for direct sourcing, or community organizations for events. Consider non-traditional partners too, schools for catering or local artisans for merchandise opportunities. Your offerings provide another avenue for identifying partners. A cafe offers more than food and beverages. It provides community spaces, meeting venues, and potentially culinary education. After identifying current and potential partners, map their needs and offerings systematically. This reveals the symmetry between needs and offerings. Your resources can satisfy partners' needs while theirs satisfy yours. Create matrices tracking both tangible and intangible resources. By systematically questioning each partner's potential contributions, you transform basic understanding into sophisticated insights. For instance, customers might pay for Wi-Fi upgrades, while artists could provide not just decorations, but new revenue streams through art shows and workshops. Power partnerships satisfy both parties' needs extensively and inexpensively. To identify these partnerships, translate your list of potential transaction partners into concrete trades by asking how each party's offerings could fulfill the other's needs. This process requires judgment to discard impractical ideas and ingenuity to discover creative exchanges. By analyzing how partners' offerings could fulfill your needs and vice versa, you transform possibilities into actionable trades. Examine how well each partner's offerings meet your needs by considering how many needs they address and how completely they address each one. Then assess the costs of providing your offerings to them. After identifying beneficial trades, consider your partner's perspectives too. Despite knowing less about them than yourself, making educated guesses about their benefits and costs is better than no assessment. Finally, evaluate partnerships as a set rather than in isolation. Consider how potential trades might be prerequisites for others, complement each other, create economies of scale, or become redundant when combined. When approaching potential partners, focus on confirming trades you've devised, identifying new possibilities, and assessing partnership potential, not on persuasion or immediate deal-making. Partnership conversations follow 5 stages: trust-building introductions, surfacing needs through open questions, exploring mutual benefits, and concluding with next steps. These discussions often reveal that some partnerships are less valuable than expected, or uncover surprising interdependencies between partners, precisely why pausing to reassess is crucial before finalizing agreements. When ready to formalize partnerships, present multi-issue offers simultaneously rather than sequentially to maintain trust. Better yet, offer multiple equivalent packages to give partners a sense of control while revealing their true preferences and constraints. The bartering mindset transforms how we approach life's challenges. When facing expenses that exceed income, rather than just cutting costs, you might negotiate bonus installments or offer additional value to your employer in exchange for help with cash flow timing. When your car breaks down, instead of merely haggling with dealers, identify all transportation alternatives, carpooling, public transit, or combining biking with temporary accommodations near work. Far from appearing weak, the bartering mindset makes you look strong and resourceful. You command attention by proposing possibilities others find exciting. Instead of simply requesting a rent reduction, you might suggest bringing in complementary tenants or improving property amenities. By embracing this ancient economic wisdom in modern transactions, we transform zero-sum conflicts into collaborative problem-solving. Remember, negotiations offer more than money. They present a marketplace of possibilities waiting to be discovered.